This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. You may have had to take one when you applied for a new job or proved that you'd make a good manager. Personality tests are popular in the professional world, and they're meant to tell us who we are and how we fit into the group. But many personality tests have their own character flaw. Test takers can pretty easily shape the results. Researchers at North Carolina State University and the Center for Creative Leadership have taken on that critical flaw by developing a new kind of test. It uses a rapid response technique that gives test takers a little less time to think about what employers might want to hear. Adam Mead is a psychology professor at North Carolina State. He led the development team for the test and joins us now. Adam, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You, I understand, have been both fascinated and frustrated by personality tests for a while. Tell us about your interest in these tests.
Sure. So my training is in a mixture of psychometrics, which is an obscure field of psychological testing most people have never heard of, but also industrial organizational psychology, which is still hard for me to say even 15 years later. But it's basically the study of behavior in the workplace. And as part of the study of people in the workplace, personality testing has been around really since the 1920s in that domain. So really, as part of my professional training, I became interested in assessment, both sort of assessment of job applicants pre-hire, but also assessment of employees for things like team building or personal development. And so I've been interested in it for a good while.
Well, we use this word personality, but that seems to be a pretty hard thing to measure. What are we talking about when we say
personality? Yeah, personality is a little bit tough to define, but I tend not to overthink it. I think of personality as your behavioral tendencies. So if you think about what impacts behavior, it's a mixture of your situation that you're in. So for example, if you're in what's called a strong situation, like a funeral, you see people behave largely the same. There's not a lot of variability there. And if you're in a weak situation, which is something unstructured, people are much more free to behave according to their natural tendencies. Mm-hmm. So personality is not really the same thing as like a self-concept or your core identity or anything like that. It's really the types of behaviors you tend to want to engage in sort of left to your own devices.
And that kind of just intuitive understanding is what employers are looking at. They're trying to build a team. They know what this job description is. So those tendencies match. You get it. You know what you're looking for. Now is there a test to screen these applicants, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you are in an organization, a team-based environment, you know, personality tests will give you that information about whether people will tend to be, for example, conflict avoidant or if they're more likely to engage in conflict. And that might be relevant if you're trying to build a team that's very cohesive. You may not want to bring in someone who's very disagreeable, who sort of enjoys argumentation and things like that.
Oh, you need one of those.
Seems like one always makes
let me take issue with that. I will tell you.
It's always one.
Well, and that's going to bring us to a question later on in terms of why, you know, how smart people are in building the team once they get the results. But before we get there, I want to find out about these results and find out how widely used they are. How popular are these kinds of tests?
Yeah, they're quite popular in organizational settings. I don't have the latest statistics, but there was a survey done about 10 years ago, and certainly when you look at things like Fortune 500 companies, the vast majority use some kind of screening around personality. They also look at other things like cognitive ability tests, and certainly interviews are the standard that most organizations go to, but they're quite pervasive.
And tell us what the flaw that we've talked about. More about that.
Sure, yeah. So most personality tests, and I don't want to speak for all of them, but by and large, most of them are survey-based. So obviously today, you know, we're all familiar with surveys. You get a survey anytime you buy something online or go to the dentist, you get a survey, follow-up. And so most personality tests are survey-based. You'll see an item, something like the classic ones, I'm the life of the party, which gets at how people are, extroverted people are. And people will be asked to rate that on a scale of, you know, 1 to 5, something like that, strongly disagree to strongly agree. And so those work reasonably well. I don't want to say that that's a terrible way to do it, but a couple of the issues we get is that, number one, those things, they tend to take a while. So if you talk about a comprehensive measure of personality, it's not uncommon to see 200-300 questions take anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. That's a long time, so it's a lengthy process that a lot of people don't want to take the time to engage in if they're applying for a job and they're online and it's really long. They decide they've got better things to do in other places they want to apply. A second issue with them is that, again, many of them are transparent, and so one of the things that employers struggle with is this notion of faking. So people present themselves in a way that they want to be seen rather than the way that they truly are. So you're not really getting those true behavioral tendencies anymore. You're getting someone's kind of managed impression of themselves.
Yeah, they figured out how to game the test.
Exactly.
And it's pretty obvious from some of the questions, you know, that what they're looking for, right? You know how to answer that one.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a lot of research that shows that people can and often do game the test. And, you know, I can't blame people for doing that. If you're applying for a job and you really want the job and you see a way that you can, you know, make yourself look a little better for that job, I think that's probably a natural thing for people to want to do.
Yeah, you don't wear the gravy stain jacket to the interview.
Exactly.
You know, you're trying to look as good as you can. But so tell us how you're trying to beat that now and screen for that or change that in your test.
Sure. Yeah. So the test that we came up with is a lot different. So if you think about most of the tests that are out there, they kind of take what was been done for the last 40, 50 years, which is a questionnaire. You know, it used to be in paper and pencil, and they stuck it online, and now you use drop downs to respond. But it's largely the same type of approach. And the approach we wanted, you know, one of the things we push in the psychometrics lab over at NC State is innovation and measurement. And so we really wanted to think hard about how we could do things differently. And so there's a methodology out there that's been used for other kind of approaches that we sort of were interested in. And we hit on something that uses a computer-based environment. And the way it works is that we present adjectives that relate to personality, and we know that through, you know, decades of research on personality and adjectives. And they present the adjectives one at a time on the screen. So the screen's blank. The only thing on there is the adjective. And before the session begins, we train people to associate a yes response with the right hand and the no response with the left hand. So people will see the adjective and very quickly say, yes, that's like me, or no, that's not like me. It takes about 1 second per adjective for most people. And so that gives us a couple of advantages. One, it's much, much, much faster than most other assessments. So we need about 10 to 20 adjectives per trait to measure, and so we can get a measure of personality in 6 to 8 minutes, which normally takes, you know, 30 to 40. Mm-hmm. So orders of magnitude faster. And the other thing it does is it pushes people by asking them and in fact forcing them to respond quickly, it pushes people out of that impression management mode. They really don't have time to think about how they want to be seen because they're so busy answering the question, and then they immediately get another item on screen, another adjective on screen, that they really aren't able to manage their impression in the way that they can on a typical test.
And I understand that you're measuring, even within those seconds, fractions of the second that they take to answer, and you can tell something about them by that, right?
Exactly, yeah. So one of the innovations is the presentation format, but instead of just getting the response itself, we also get the response time. And so there's some research in psychology that suggests that things that are closer to your core concept, your self schema, are things that are activated more quickly in memory. And so the idea is that for things that you see as really relevant to yourself, you can generate a response very quickly to that adjective. So if it takes you, you know, 2 or 3 seconds to say you're decisive, you're probably not that decisive.
Good point. All right, so you're measuring these time gaps and the ones that take a little longer, a little more suspect. But what about these adjectives? Give me an example of some of the adjectives.
Sure. So some are somewhat transparent, things like, you know, diligent, orderly, dutiful, these kinds of things. And other things are a little bit more ambiguous to whether or not they would be considered a positive or not. So things like casual or conventional, traditional, these types of things.
But see, now there, if you say casual, I'm going to take an extra second because I'm wondering what you mean by that.
Right.
Which brings me to the next, the ultimate question in this category, and that is, you know, words are pretty subjective, and my understanding of diligent, I mean, it seems to me that the most diligent worker is somebody who's pushing themselves so hard they don't think they're diligent enough. So they might say no. And it's the slacker who says, oh, yeah, you bet I'm a hard worker. Isn't that part of the problem?
That can be the case. You know, we try to control for that in the validation process. So we don't just throw these things out there. We go through a long process where we administer the adjectives to a lot of people. We look at how they correlate with one another. We look at how they correlate with other kinds of things. So the study that just came out done over done at the Center for Creative Leadership over in Greensboro, we actually looked and see how some of these things correlate with things like job performance and how people's peers, their supervisors – even their subordinates rate their job performance.
Now, that would be the ultimate algorithm is to go back and say, yeah, again, how did they pan out? And then you can really refine these results, right?
Exactly.
In your understanding of the test.
Right. And that's what we try to do in the process of validation. You know, we throw things out there and you sort of start with a lot of things you think may work. And you eventually refine it down to a number of things that you can show empirically sort of do relate to performance and other kinds of aspects that are relevant for the job.
And this particular test that you've actually done testing on a test that you're ready to market and actually sell, right?
That's right, yeah. So we have a few different versions. We've got a free research version for university research. So people, personality is a fairly common thing to study in academic settings, and so we want to make that free for researchers that are out there. But we've also got commercial versions. We've got one version used to screen job applicants. So if you're an organization, you get a lot of applicants and you need a way to quickly screen them without bringing in 1,000 people for an interview, we have an assessment that'll help you sort of screen out some people that may be needing screened out. And then we have another version that's really more for the development process. So this would be really marketed more toward leaders and executives in an organization who are attempting to learn about their own behavioral tendencies in order to learn how to sort of modify and get away from those tendencies they may have and do what the situation actually calls for.
Well, I've left you 30 seconds for this, but I'm going to ask anyway, and it may be beyond the scope, but learning how to interpret these results, it seems to me, is really important too.
It is, yeah. So most people work with professional coaches, and that's what the team over at Center for Creative Leadership, they're really a worldwide leader in coaching and training for managers and executives, and that's exactly what they use it for over there. They'll walk somebody, they'll spend about an hour walking through a personality report and say, you know, this is your score and this is what that means for your job, and you need to learn to understand that you can modify your behavior, you know, according to the situation.
Great stuff. Adam Mead, psychology professor at North Carolina State University. He led the development of a new fake-resistant personality test. Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, what does it mean to be a good citizen? Carolina Performing Arts challenges our views of citizenship, and we'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.